Church.
John chapter 14 and verse number 2. It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And here's what I just want us to see here this morning, that when it says that in my Father's house are many mansions, most of the minds of people, what it goes to is to a future home, a future place where we would have our own big homes, and that these places are being prepared for us for future habitation, right? But what this is really talking about is about the body of Christ. It's talking about how we have all been every single one of us that are in Christ have been made living stones, in other words, habitations for God. And with each and every single believer combined, we are all being built up a spiritual house, right? A Father's house, a spiritual household of God. So it says, in my Father's house, it says, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then listen to what he says. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And the awesome thing about that is that he says, I go to prepare a place for you. So where he's going, right, he's making reference to my Father's house, right? So he's saying, in my Father's house are many mansions, and that word mansions there is abiding places. So in my Father's house are many abiding places, dwelling places. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I'm going, Jesus said, right? This is John 14, and this is the Lord speaking. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. There are many abiding places. So I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you to be able to abide with my Father and with I, right? And in verse number 3, if we can just go a little bit further, he says, and if I go, so he, and if I go is making reference now specifically to the cross, right? Because this is just before the Lord is to be crucified. And he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, because the preparation of that place for us in God was made through the cross, right? There is no other, if you think about that word preparation, there's nothing else that God did through Jesus Christ to reconcile us to himself, right? So that reconciliation is just a different way of saying that we abide with him and he with us, right? We are in the Father, right? And in the Son, and the Father and the Son are in us. So that's reconciliation. That's being made one, right, by the Spirit of God. So he says, so if I go to prepare a place for you, so we know the preparation that he's talking about, but we'll keep going there anyway, because I think he says it later anyhow. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So that's something that happened when he went to the cross, so that a place would be prepared for us. In other words, that we would be reconciled to the Father, that we would be one with him. So he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And that coming again many times is made reference to the second coming of Christ, right? But this is making reference to the coming of the Spirit of God, where that reconciliation would be made true. So he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. And here's what that receiving is. So that where I am, Jesus said, there you may be also. So that where I am, there you may be also. So what he's talking about is, he's saying that where I am, so I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to the cross, right? And from the cross, we know that he rose and is seated at the right hand of the Father. So what he's saying is, so that where I am, there you may be also. So that as I am one with the Father, right, and I have returned to the glory that we once shared, so that we also would be one with him. So that where he is, we would be also. And that makes reference also to how the Lord said that that he is seated in heavenly places above all principality, power, and dominion at the right hand of the Father. And we also have been seated with him together in heavenly places in Christ, right? So he says, let's read verse number 3 again. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And watch what he says to them. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So what he's talking about is where he's going. He's saying not only do you know where I go, but you also know the way to get there, right? And Thomas says to him in verse number 5, Lord, we know not where you go, and so how can we know the way? And in verse number 6, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, right? So we know then the reference that he's making to, we don't know where you're going, the answer to that is unto my Father, right? Where we're going is unto the Father. So the place that Jesus started talking about in verse number 2, where he says, in my Father's house, right, now obviously matches the destination that he's talking about with his, I go unto my Father. So the all of the reference here is being able to come to the Father, which is basically to be reconciled to the Father. Now, before we finish up that little bit there, let's go back again, and let me remind you what we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse number, let's just read verse 16 again. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, which we are today, right? If you are born again, that means you're in Christ. Now, the definition of that in Christ is that now you are where he is, right? Because we share the same spirit. So we are one with the Father by spirit, right? In spirit. So he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has, past tense then, in Christ, right? He who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So everything that the Lord was saying above about us being able, in John 14, us being able to be reconciled to the Father, to be able to know the way to the Father, was done through Jesus Christ. But the thing that I want to draw your attention to there is, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, that there is, there's an understanding, an incorrect understanding among the church, that there are things that we have to do in order to be able to be reconciled to God. That there are things even that we have to do, even after we're reconciled to God, that there are things that we have to do in order to maintain that reconciliation. But the beautiful thing is that he says, in my Father's house are many abiding places. So what he's saying, in order for us to be one with you, right, for the Father and the Son to be one with the church, right? He says, I am the one that goes to prepare that place for you. So you don't see any reference at all made here in any way, or even hinting that there is anything other than Jesus Christ and him crucified that is the way, the truth of the life. So in other words, he makes himself and he puts himself in the position of the one that prepared the way to the Father. So in all of this talk of reconciliation to the Father, right, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, that all of that reconciliation was prepared through Jesus Christ. So there was nothing that was prepared, no inheritance of the kingdom that was given to us to enter into, and that way being made only through the cross, right? There was nothing at all that we did or could ever do in order to be able to earn entrance into our inheritance, right, into the kingdom. So let me show you something real quick. When he says that in verse number 6 of John 14, he says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, right? Right there he says, so I am that preparation. I go to prepare a place for you, right? In other words, what he's saying is, I go to reconcile the world to my Father. And the cool thing about that is, not just, he didn't prepare a way for Christians. He prepared a way for the world, right? He prepared a way for the world, because the way exists for believers and unbelievers alike, right? So the only thing that is remaining is that people would walk in that way, right? That they would hear the Lord, that they would hear the Lord saying, this is the way. My Son is the way. Walk in that way. That we wouldn't be led to walk to the right or to the left in any other way, any other type of qualification to be reconciled to the Father, any other work to be reconciled to the Father, but that we would see, no, Jesus, you said you are the way, right? This is the only preparation that was needed in order to give entrance into the kingdom. Jesus made that way, that entrance into the kingdom. And the only thing that the Lord asks of us, right, is that we would put our faith in Jesus Christ. So let me show you something here. And I think it's further down, but let me just see here. Hold on one second. Let's go. You know, we mentioned in entrance or our inheritance of the kingdom. Let's go to Matthew 25. We were in John. Let's go to Matthew 25. and verse number 34. Matthew 25 and verse number 34. And this is Jesus speaking a parable to them, and he says in verse number 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand." So right before this, he's just talking about how the Lord would come and separate the sheep from the goats, right? So he says, the sheep, right? My children, he said, I will set to my right hand. He says, and goats I will set to the left hand, right? Those that know him and those that do not know him. And he says, then the king shall say to them on the right. So then the king shall say to those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, right? He says to them on the right, come you blessed of my Father. Come you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Watch what he says there again. He said, then the king said unto them, on his right hand to those that have believed, come you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that's perfectly understood there, right? Because even in Revelation, I believe it's in Revelation, where he says the Lamb of God slain, it says, before the foundation of the world. So the reference that he has there in Matthew chapter 25, where he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, he's making reference to the same comment that Jesus made. He said, where I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. So he's saying there, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that I prepared for you through my Son, right? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He's making reference to the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, right? And then in verse number 35, he says, watch. Now, he just said right there, he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, right? So there's no further qualification having to be made. There's no other work that has to be done. He says, enter into your inheritance, right? Fully receive everything, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And then in verse number 35, watch he says, for I was hungry and you gave me meat. Now, just to give you the punchline before we finish reading here, He already qualified us and said, how did he prepare the way? And then he said, for I was hungry. So here's where he's not going. He's not going to teach us and say, when you feed the poor, that's what prepares your way into the kingdom, right? He's going to mention here, and I'll explain it to you, but he's not saying that if you do these things, you're doing it to me, and that will qualify you entrance into the kingdom, right? That there is no hospital ministry. There's no prison ministry. There is no soup kitchen ministry. There is nothing that we could ever do as the church that would actually make us qualified, because now we have been busy doing these things, and that is really what makes us qualified in order to be able to enter into the kingdom. And watch where that understanding comes from, because that incorrect understanding comes from. Because in verse 35, he says, for I was hungry and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I said, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. What God is not saying here, he's not saying inherited the kingdom, because here's the translation of that verse in most circles. Inherit the kingdom because you fed the poor. Inherit the kingdom because you were thirsty and you gave me drink. Inherit the kingdom because I was sick and you visited me, right? Because we visit people in the hospital. Inherit the kingdom because I was in prison. So in verse number 37, he says, then shall the righteous answer him. The righteous meaning those that are at his right hand, those that have been qualified through the preparation through the cross of Jesus Christ. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when were you hungry and we fed thee, or thirsty and we gave you to drink? When saw we you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So you know really the correct interpretation of this verse? Here's what he's saying. I'll read it to you. I'll read the correct interpretation. In other words, a plain interpretation of that parable, right? 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. A correct interpretation of that verse. So he says, enter into the kingdom that was prepared for you through the cross. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me meat, right? So here's the correct interpretation of that. In verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 5, he said, whosoever believes that Jesus Christ, believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. So that is believing in the preparation that was made for you. And then he says, and everyone that loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. And in verse number 2, he says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So, and this touches a bit on what Pastor Mike was preaching about, and I believe he touched on Wednesday night, that what this is talking about is those that keep the command of God. In other words, faith in Jesus Christ. And because of our faith in Jesus Christ, the correct interpretation of why he says that I was hungry and you gave me meat and I was thirsty and you gave me drink is because what? Because of your love for God, right? He says, then there is an overflowing of the Spirit from on the inside of you, right? Fruit of the Spirit that comes out. In other words, a ministering then to others, a love for people, so that when you see those that are without a shepherd, when you see those that are naked, when you see those that are hungry, when you see those that are thirsty, in other words, the reference there is like the woman at the well. He says, if you drink of this water, you will never thirst, right? The way the Lord said it many times, if you believe in me, if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, right, you'll never hunger. You will never thirst again. The Lord is never saying, right, that it is incorrect or wrong to give someone something to eat when they're hungry, right? The point is not that. The point is, though, that there is such a thing as good works, right? There's totally a thing as good works, and good works that have been made for us to be able to walk in. But the point of good works is not that we put the cart before the horse. We put the good works first and think that qualifies us to inherit a kingdom, and it's actually the opposite way. The good works that come from the body of Christ come from what? Come from the work of the Spirit of God, the labor of God, the grace of God working in and through us. Paul said, for I labored more abundantly than you all, but not I, but the grace of God in me. Good works need to be done. The things that are profitable for people to know the kingdom need to be done. So let me actually even wrap this a little bit more for you in truth. So he says in Matthew 25 again, he says, come in and inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Come into and inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you through Jesus Christ, my son, and him crucified. And then he said, for I was hungry and you gave me meat. So God would never say, in Matthew chapter 6, he says the exact opposite of what people think. Here he thinks that people think that what God is saying, concern yourself about the poverty, the physical poverty of people. Concern yourself, in other words, be about, in other words, the business of my Father is for you to be about the business about feeding the poor and giving to drink those that are thirsty and clothing those that are naked. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 25, he says the opposite. He says, therefore, I say to you, take no thought or care for your life. So God would not be saying, take no thought or care for your life, but fill yourself with the care of the needs of others, right? God would never say that. God does not say, take no thought for your own life. And watch what he says. Take no thought for your own life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. And then take the incorrect translation of what people translate from Matthew 25 or interpret from Matthew 25, that God is saying that is what our care is, that our care is to give clothes to those that don't have it or to feed those that are hungry. That's not your care. Now, good works need to be done, right? Things need to happen. In other words, poverty, the poverty of people, right, that there's already an answer for poverty. And I'm not talking about right now about physical poverty. I'm talking about the poverty of people without a shepherd. There is an answer already to that. And within that answer, in making those that are poor spiritually be able to be filled, to be full, there is the answer of a Father, right, that will add unto us all of those things that are needful because he knows that we need them, right? Watch what he says in Matthew chapter 6. Take no thought for your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or of your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Actually, he says, for the kingdom of God, the reign of God is not meat or drink, right? But he says, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, he says. He says, is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment, more than clothing. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father, watch, listen to who it is that feeds the fowl of the air, right? It says, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Right? If we can jump down then to verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So the answer to the seeming physical needs that people see, what he's saying is, he says, O you of little faith. So what he's talking about is be reconciled to God through faith in his son. So what we were reading before in John 14 and in Matthew 25, what he's really saying is, he's saying, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. So if I go and prepare a place for you, I will reconcile you unto myself. And after, he says, after I have reconciled you to myself, the way he says in 2 Corinthians, after I have reconciled you unto myself, the Father saying, I was in Christ reconciling you to myself. And when I have reconciled you unto myself, understand, I have given you the task of reconciling others to me. And how is that done? Teaching people to seek first the kingdom of God, right? In Matthew chapter 6, he says here, O you of little faith, take no thought then saying, in verse number 31, take no thought then saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So seek you first the way that has been prepared for you to be able to walk in. And I know I get it, right? I get the concern that people live with today. And after this concern of virus and pestilence and all this stuff has gone away, there will be another care if you just live by beholding the world. There'll be another care to replace that. There may be things already going on in your life that are greater worries and cares in your life than even what's already going on. So the cares of this world will never cease. As long as we think that the way to resolve those things is just by us leaning on our own understanding, figuring out ways to deal with the present condition, but instead, right, that we would be able to be in a position, watch this, to take no thought for our life. To take no thought for our life, but to know that we have a heavenly Father that cares for us. You know what Jesus said in John 14 that we were reading before? He says, I will come again. He says, I will come again. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. Saying that to his very disciples, and obviously even to us today, saying that to his disciples that he walked with for 3 years, and he's saying, now I go away. He says, but don't worry. I'm not going to go away and leave you orphan. I'm not going to go away and leave you comfortless, because the reason why I'm going away and going unto my Father is to be able to prepare that way for you so that where I am, there you may be also. You hear what he's saying? To those disciples that walked with him for 3 years, walked hand in hand with him feeling secure, walked hand in hand with him feeling safe regardless of what was going around the world, but leaned on him, right? Leaned on him for safety, leaned on him for comfort, leaned on him for power to live, right? Leaned on him for their sustenance, leaned on him as their provider. Now he's saying, I'm going, and then they got all sorts of freaked out, right? Because now we've walked with you, but now you're going to leave us by ourselves. And he comforts them and he tells them, I will not leave you orphans, but I will come to you, right? I'm not going to leave you fatherless. And that is a beautiful reference, right? He tells those that he has been walking with who used to consider him after the flesh, he says, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you fatherless, right? So he's the Father is speaking through him, because Jesus said, it's not I, the words that I speak, I don't speak of my own, but the Father within me does the work, right? So it's the Father within me that's speaking to you. And the Father was telling those disciples, he says, I'm not going to leave you without a father. I'm not going to leave you orphans, right? Many translations say comfortless, but what he's saying there, I will not leave you without myself, because the reason why I'm going to the cross is to reconcile you to myself. And if I go then to and reconcile you to myself, then where I am, there you may be also. So you see, life is more than us being concerned and worried about where we're going to get the next meal, where we're going to be able to find a store open to provide this need or that need, where we're we're going to get this. Or we're, life, even as we're living it today, right? Life is more than the concern and the worry that we have for it. But yet we have a Heavenly Father who says, you know, I know what you need before you ask me. Seek the kingdom and the righteousness that I have given you through Jesus Christ, which is the entrance into that kingdom, right? Seek first my kingdom and the righteousness that gives you entrance into it. So you would know that the way that God is asking you to walk today, despite, right, the elevation of any other worldwide concern, right? He's saying there is nothing that can disqualify or impede the entrance of the inheritance that I've given you in my kingdom. In other words, there is nothing that can block today us receiving from the kingdom of God that Jesus said is within us, right? Because our entrance into the kingdom, the thing that has made us one with the Father, the thing that has reconciled us to Him, is not, in other words, the reconciliation that we have with the Father is not just some kind of mere thing that God is not angry with me anymore. Therefore, just in a matter of speaking, I'm reconciled to God. In other words, He's not mad at me and I'm not mad at Him. We're friends, right? But that's not the point that Jesus made. He said, the glory that you have given me, I have given them. That just, Father, as me and you are one, so that they also may be one in us, right? So that's the reconciliation that He's talking about, that we are one with Him. So He's not making a friendship reconciliation where He's saying, you are my friend, but no, we are His and He is ours. He's talking about our actual reconciliation with Him, being made one with Him. So this reconciliation that we have with Him, he says, don't worry, you are in this world, but He says, but I'm not going to leave you fatherless, and I will come again to you. And then we read in Acts chapter 2, He says that they were all gathered together in an upper room. He says, and then there came, right, as of a rushing mighty wind that came in and filled the house. As of a rushing mighty wind that came in and filled the house, right? The Spirit of God on that day was poured out upon all flesh. And in that day that the Spirit of God came, right, into this earth, it filled that house. It filled that physical abiding place of God. It filled that house. That day that the Spirit of God came unto men, they were no more alone. They were no more fatherless. But now He said, before you even go out to be able to begin to speak that task of reconciliation, being able to speak the good news. Isn't that awesome? In the middle of all of the garbage going on today, there is, and I know this for most people, it just sounds a little, I don't know, just almost like our hearing has become dull when we say good news. But why is it that the gospel is called the good news? Because it remains, listen, the gospel is the gospel, or the good news is the good news no matter what's happening in the world. In other words, there is good news for what's going on today. There is good news for what's going to go on tomorrow. There is good news for every single day. And what is that? That Jesus Christ has already overcome the world, right? He says, take heart, for I have already overcome anything that could ever occur to you. I know that certain names of things are brand new, and when you hear a new name of something that you had never heard before, it sounds very powerful. It sounds very new. It sounds very recent. It sounds like we've never heard of this before, therefore we're completely unfamiliar and impotent against it, right? But that's not the way our God thinks, right? Our God has already overcome the world. Everything that has happened, that is happening today and will ever happen in this world, Jesus Christ has already overcome the world through the cross. That is why it will always be the gospel. When and you probably heard me say this before, that the gospel never grows out of date, right? That the gospel is never old. But the reason why the gospel is never old is because there is never anything that could ever happen to you in the entirety of your time in this flesh, right, that would ever be something like, oh God, like God, my Father never thought about this. He never worked this in Christ in order to be able to deliver me from this thing. But no matter what happens in your life, God has already delivered you out of everything. No matter what will ever happen to you in your life, God has already delivered you out of everything. So you know what's beautiful to think about? This, just what we've been touching on, how He says, I go to prepare a place for you, right? If you... If you see that, right, you see that replayed over again in your mind. Disciples that had been with him already for years and know that he's saying he's going to go away. And to be able to hear the Lord even telling you today, saying, you know what, I went and I already prepared a place for you and my Father, so that where I am, there you may be also. And that's not speaking about, right, that reconciliation that he's talking about is not a reconciliation that is future, right? But a reconciliation that came to this world, right, on the day of Pentecost. A reconciliation that came to the world when God said, I have given you my Spirit. Now he says, I have not given you the spirit of this world, but I have given you my Spirit so that you can know. The rest of the world that has not accepted the reconciliation that God so freely supplies to it, right? So freely supplied to it. God has reconciled the world. God prepared a place for the world in God. God has prepared a place for the world in God, but yet he says all that's needful is that you would accept that reconciliation. And if you could receive that reconciliation, you can be where I am. You can have what I have. I the glory that I have, that glory can be yours, right? That glory can be yours. He even says in another place, he says, you know what, we think so much of just the things on this earth, yet we have not clearly seen the fact that we are citizens of heaven, right? We think that we are subject to a world, that if it's happening physically in this world, then that means we are under it, we are subject unto it. But God is teaching us the exact opposite. He's saying, you know what, enter into the things of the kingdom, right? You the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is within you. It doesn't come with observation. It doesn't say it's here or there, but the kingdom of God is already within you, right? So because the kingdom of God is already within you, he teaches us through the knowledge of my son, you can enter in.
ReformInUs.com